and I'm ready to preach some fire today, pun intended, and we're going to have a good time. One quick note, thing to take note of before I jump into the message that I believe God's going to use to speak to your heart. I know he's been speaking to me through the preparation of this message. You got to tell us real quick, we've got next Sunday, June 3rd, our second growth trek. And this may not be exciting for you, but it's exciting for me. And the reason why is this is important. This is optimal for every single person I'm talking to in the room. So you may be wondering, what is Growth Track? Who is Growth Track for? And the answer to that second question is you. It's for every single person here in this room. It's for those that are new, so excited about the growth that we're experiencing here at Christ Covenant. So it's for all for the new families that you haven't been a part of the Growth Track before, the first one, but it's also for every single person that was here before I got here, and I've been here only 6 months now. And so if you've been at the church for 5 years, 10 years or more, any amount of time before I got here, it's for you as well. And I thank God for you. Why is it for both of those groups? Why is it for everybody? Here's why. Because during Growth Trek, which is going to be 12 to 1 p.m. next week, we're going to provide snacks and childcare, all that kind of stuff. But during that time, I'm going to share with you personally a little bit about my story, where I've been, what we've done before, why we felt like God called us here to Christ Covenant into Houston. Also going to share my vision, what's important to us, what do we value. We're going to talk about volunteering, membership, no strings attached. You can go and not become a member, that would be okay. And so I'm just asking for you to join the many that have already signed up online or by emailing us, info@christcov.net. We'd love for you to be a part of Growth Track. Really excited about what God is doing. Well, as I've shared already, we are in the middle of a series called A Controlled Burn, the Holy Spirit and You. And literally throughout each week, and it's not really four distinct messages. I shared last week that it's really one long message broken up into four different sections. And so we're in part two today. And each week during this series, A Controlled Burn, we're borrowing from that title, from that theme, to give you kind of a big illustration in the middle of our discovery on who the Holy Spirit is and what does he do in our lives. And so today, I want to draw your attention for just a moment, kind of setting the scene, to the International Space Station. Next week, I'll actually talk about a trip that my family and I did about 1 or 2 months ago to the NASA here in Houston. That's next week. But today, I want to draw your attention to the International Space Station. I find this very fascinating, but I found out that the astronauts on the International Space Station, like they're up there in the sky above us, on average, in a 24-hour period, they see 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets. That's fascinating. Now, you know, here where we're at in Houston, specifically in Northwest Houston, where the church building is located, we're 128 feet above sea level. If you go to downtown Houston, you'd be 50 feet above sea level. Well, the astronauts in the International Space Station, they are 221 miles above sea level, traveling at a speed of 17,000 miles per hour. Hashtag no big deal. That's them. And so here's what that means. This means that in 90 minutes, they can go around the globe. 90 minutes. And so they see 16 sunrises and 16 sunsets a day. Now, we see one of each of those, but they see 16. And here's why I start with that illustration today. You see, the higher that we can get, the better our view. Came to preach. No, it's Memorial Day weekend, okay? Just letting you know. Came to preach. The higher we get, the better our point of view. See, they're 221 miles above sea level, and they can see what we cannot see down here on Earth. And really, that's my mission today, to take you to a topic, the Holy Spirit, that makes people nervous, that makes people not want to show up, because you go back to all these things that you saw on TV or that your friend told you about or that you experienced when you were younger, things that make you a little bit irked on the inside. It's a subject like this that it's so vital that we don't get our knowledge from our point of view, but from God's. See, God, he is the Most High, and he has the best point of view. And so I shared this with you last week, and I'll share it again today, that our opinions at this church will only be from what God has to say in his word. It's just how we roll. It's what we're going to do. So today we're looking at the Most High and what he has to say about who he is. Because I got to remind some people today that the Holy Spirit isn't weird. People are weird. So we got to remember that. So I'm calling part two of this series, if you're a note taker, I'm calling part two, I Believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you're really uncomfortable, you can just write Pastor Ryan believes in the Holy Ghost, and that'd be cool. But I believe in the Holy Ghost. Now, if you've been around the church for a while, not this church, just the church, Big C. If you've been around the church for a while, you know that that line, I believe in the Holy Ghost, it comes directly from the Apostles' Creed. Especially if you come from a liturgical background, you maybe recited that at the beginning, middle, or end of each service. I believe in the Holy Ghost. But I got to tell somebody today, that line, that title is so much more to me personally. Yeah, it's in the Apostles' Creed. Yeah, we see the Holy Spirit at work in the Bible, but I got to tell somebody today, personally, in my life, I believe in the Holy Ghost. The same way that I believe in oxygen, I believe in the Holy Ghost. I can't see it. I don't really understand it, but I breathe it in and it gives me life. I believe in the Holy Ghost. In the same way that a sailboat believes in the wind. We don't know where it came from or where it's going. I'm preaching today, but we see what it does when it moves the boat. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Not because somebody told me to believe, but because God is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God, and I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me backtrack for a second. I believe in the Holy Spirit. There's a powerful quote about the Holy Spirit from a man, maybe you heard him, maybe you haven't, since passed on years ago, but his name is Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon, he passed away in the 1890s, but to this day, he's still a legend. And I'll quote him often in my messages. He was such a powerful preacher that it was common, this is over 100 years ago, it was common for him to speak to 10,000 people at one time. That's a lot nowadays, but think over 100 years ago. In fact, back then, they didn't have a microphone. What I hold in my hand. So you thought I was loud, okay? But he could preach without a mic to 10,000 people. And here's what he had to say about the Holy Spirit, specifically in the context of the body of Christ, the church. Here's what he had to say. The church is weak today because the Holy Spirit is not upon her members as we could desire him to be. You and I are tottering along like feeble babes, whereas had we more of the Spirit, we might walk without fainting, run without weariness, and even mount up with wings as eagles. Oh, for more of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, whom Christ is prepared to give immeasurably unto us if we will but receive him. Last week, we talked about the need for the Holy Spirit. And if you're new today or you missed last week, I'd encourage you to listen to that later on. It's on our website. The title of my message was Marked by Fire. We talked about fresh fire from heaven that's seen all throughout the Bible where God's presence dwells. And this week, it's all about the identity of the Holy Spirit, who he is, and what that means for us. And so if you have a Bible with you, a copy of God's Word, maybe you've got an app on your phone, I'm going to have you turn to two different places. And if you're thinking, man, I forgot my Bible, or I don't have one, we'll have it on the screen here in a second if you're listening live here in the room. But I want to take you to John chapter 14 and also John chapter 16, okay? You can mark those two places if you'd like. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 18, and John chapter 16, verses 7 through 8. John 14, 15 through 18, and John 16, 7 through 8. In both of these places, these passages, our main text for today, Jesus is talking. And so if you've got one of those Bibles from long ago, these words will be written in red. Not because they ran out of black ink, but because it's Jesus talking here. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't think there is a better person for us to learn about the Holy Spirit from than Jesus. So I'm not going to tell you today and preach to you what I believe. I'm going to tell you and preach to you what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, we'll start there, and then we'll move quickly to chapter 16. Starting in verse 15 of chapter 14. If you love me, Jesus talking, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. We talked about that last week. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John chapter 16 now, starting in verse 7. Still Jesus here. But I tell you the truth. It's good for you. It's for your good that I'm going away. Lest I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. Let's pray. Jesus, we approach you right now in a posture of humility, but also in a posture of boldness, knowing that any time your word is preached, no matter the preacher, any time that your word is opened up and preached, there's power. And so I pray for my friends today, in the same way that this message has messed me up in a good way on the inside, I pray the same thing for them, those listening live in the room and those that will listen later on. I pray for each of us that we would have, as I talked about last week, a blank page for you to write upon. May we push to the side our schemas, our mindsets that we have for good or bad. May we push to the side the things that we've seen on TV where someone did something weird and they blamed it on the Holy Spirit. May we push everything to the side, good and bad and everything in between. And may we only use this blank page for you to write upon it what you have to say on who the Holy Spirit is. Because if your word says it, we believe it, and that settles it. And then also we pray, God, the most spiritual part of this prayer, that you would be with our Rockets. They need you. Game 7 is a-coming, and we fear the beard, but we fear you more. So have your way. Amen. 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 I don't know if we can preach about sports or pray about them, but I just did, so. Over the next few moments, I want to share with you just a few. I'll just tell you, four characteristics that we see from these two passages from Jesus himself about who the Holy Spirit is. Now, for some of you, this will be the first time that you've heard these things. For others, you may have heard this a million times before because you grew up in church. And no matter where you land on that plane, I'm asking for each of us to be open and receptive to what God would say to us from his word. And by the way, I want you to know that research says that 98% of people who take notes in church go to heaven. So I just want you to know that. And so you should take notes on this too. It's unscientific, but 98% go to heaven. Number one, he is God. You should write that down. He is God. We see this in John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's important. Another advocate. You know what another means? It means another, an additional person of the same type. Of the same type. So Jesus says to his disciples, to us, God is going to send you another person of the same type as me, an advocate for you. And so we got to understand today that the Holy Spirit, he is God. The Holy Spirit's God. He's a part of the Trinity. Now, that's a big, fancy, like fancy Christian word. It's in fact used for many different churches' names, but I want to break this down for us today. What is the Trinity? Because we believe, not just our church, Christianity believes in the Trinity, the triune God. So here it is, real simple. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we treat the Trinity funny a lot of times. We're okay with God the Father. We're definitely excited about God the Son, but usually it's not God the Holy Spirit. We put him third on the list, and really it's not a capital G for him for a lot of us because we get nervous about it. We don't understand it. But I'm here to tell you today that if you're a Christian, you must believe in the Trinity. It's essential, not to Pentecostals, but to Christians. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You got to understand, so the Trinity means three in one, okay? And that's confusing. It is, let's be honest. We serve one God in three persons. That's the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I know what you're thinking. Is God schizophrenic? Does he have multiple personalities? No. We serve one God, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to get this. Jesus tells us that he is sending another advocate for us, another person. He is God. The Lord our God is one. The Bible tells us in so many places, even beyond this, that we serve one God, not three gods. Number two, second thing you need to write down. He is a person. He's a person. We see this in the next verse, John 14:17. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and will be in you. Notice the text doesn't say it. It says him when talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm all for Star Wars, but you need to know today that the Holy Spirit's not a part of the Force. It's not not a vapor, not a thing, not an it. Can't detect him with your plasma reader like on Ghostbusters, okay? It doesn't work that way. He's not some dark being floating around in the woods trying to scare us. He's not a figment of our imagination. He has personality. He's a person. The Bible teaches us, and I'm going to give you a lot of references, so get ready to write these down if you're taking notes. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit, God himself, can be grieved. We see this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. We find out at another place that you can lie to the Holy Spirit. Ananias and Sapphira did this in Acts chapter 5. You can read that on your own if you like. Spoiler alert, it didn't turn out well for them when they did that. Now think about it logically, okay? You can't lie to a rock. Think about it. You can lie to a person, can't lie to a rock. I guess you could tell a lie to a rock, but a rock doesn't care because it's a rock, okay? So just doesn't, bad analogy. I'll move on. All right, here we go. The Holy Spirit has thoughts. You know that. It's a person. The Bible says that it seemed good to them and to the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 15, verse 28. The Holy Spirit has desires. He has a plan. He has an agenda. That's Romans chapter 8. And by the way, when I give references, don't take my word for it. Read it for yourself. The last one, there's many others. He can be obeyed or resisted. That's Acts chapter 7, verse 51. Pastor Ryan, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say this, that all of that and more throughout the Bible speaks of him as a person and not an it. When you know that, Lord our God is one God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But also we need to know that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. Important that we get that. Number three, We see in John chapter 16, the second passage, starting in verse 7, that he comforts us. He comforts us. Read again. "But I tell you the truth, it's for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you." We're going to get deep for a second. That word counselor, the original language is Greek here. Now, I don't speak Greek, maybe you do, but here's what it means. I looked it up. The word is parakletos, and here's what that word means. One of the meanings is to help or to comfort. To help or to comfort. And we see this word used only four times here in John. This is one of them. To help or to comfort. And I don't think you're getting it all the way today. So I brought a prop, an object illustration. Dante, can you help me out? Maybe this will help us for a second. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit comforts us. And so Dante's bringing up, this is not a prayer cloth or anything like that, okay? So don't get freaked out. But this is a comforter. Oh, I feel like a king right now. Thank you so much. Thank you very much, Dante. Give it up for Dante. They didn't clap very loud for you. I would have clapped way louder, man. You're awesome. You're awesome. So, you know, I told him already, if I have to ask twice, it doesn't count. But that's just how it works. So this is a twin size comforter, I think. Maybe it's larger because I feel really small in it. Let's just say it's a king size comforter, okay? And I don't know what your plans are. It's really hot underneath here, by the way. But I don't know what your plans are for Memorial Day. You know, I don't know if you're going to go after service, and it'll be over soon, I promise. But I don't know if you're going to go eat somewhere, or maybe you're going to grill out. Maybe you go to the lake, or maybe you'll go down to Galveston, the beach. I don't know what your plans are, but I'll tell you mine, okay? And so a little bit after the service, my wife and I, we're going to go on a date, which is really, really exciting. Yeah. And no matter how long you've been married, you need to go on dates. It's just important. Those that aren't married yet, you got to remember that. Lock that away. You don't give up once you get married. It just starts right then. And anyways, not my message. So we'll go on a date, and it will be great and exciting, and we'll have dinner, and my wife's just beautiful. It's just going to be awesome. And so after the date, we'll get home. My parents are in town, so they're going to watch her kiddos. And we'll get home tonight, and we'll tuck them into bed. Got a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old. And eventually, and parents can relate to this, we'll make it to bed. You know, you got to do all that other stuff first. And so when we get, and this is really dangerous because I got a suit on, but when we get there in bed, we're going to lay down. I'll be a lot more comfortable than I am right now, but... And just to be honest, I don't really use a comforter because I get hot at night. I don't know if any other guys can relate. I usually have a sheet, especially when it's like a million degrees outside. But the sheet doesn't work very good for the illustration, okay? So I got the comforter. And so we'll lay down and we'll snuggle and we'll probably take part in some extracurricular activities, if you know what I'm saying. It's going to be good. And it's gonna be a good time, and I'm gonna be comforted by the comforter, right? Like, I don't sleep with nothing on me. I gotta have something, right? It comforts me. It's soft. It's nice. It's great. And by the way, I gotta sit up for a second. This ain't working so good. By the way, I don't know if y'all have an iPhone. I've got an iPhone, and the problem with iPhones is that everybody else has an iPhone. And so my alarm is a lot of other people's ringtone when they get calls. So I'm just getting something off my chest here. But whenever I finally get to sleep and I'm laid down, I'm comfortable, it just seems like a few hours later my alarm goes off. I don't know if y'all feel that way. And if you got young kids, you can relate because just sleep is precious. It's precious. And so my alarm goes off and I just get so mad at my alarm. And this is church, right? It's a safe place. I can talk, and it's cheaper in counseling anyways. And so it goes off and I get mad. And once I can get out of the bed, I'm good. But just for that little bit, you know, it's 5 more minutes. I'm just comforted in my comforter. And it's just a really nice thing. But it's crazy because I'll go to, like, you know, Walmart, HEB, and someone else who has an iPhone, they have my ringtone for my alarm is a ringtone for calls. I don't know if you've experienced this before. And so they'll be like in a different aisle and it will go off. And then I'm so confused for a split second. I'm like, I thought I was awake, not asleep. Is this inception, a dream within a dream? I don't know. It's just confusing. But I love being comforted by my comforter. And I got to tell some people today that I'm looking goofy for you for a reason. So this would be burned into your retinas, okay? Because I want you to remember that in the stress of life, in the difficult moments, when you're not going to be able to make that rent, when your marriage is falling apart, when you're on marriage number three and because the first two didn't work out so great, when your kids are far from God, whenever you don't have a relationship with your grandkids like you wish that you should, when all life is going to hell, I've got good news for you. You have a comforter. You've got someone, a person, God himself, who is there with you in even the deepest, darkest valleys. I'm done with this. Point number four. My last one. Here we go. He convicts us. He convicts us. I didn't think I'd get an amen on that one. He convicts us. We see this in verse 8, John chapter 16. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. He'll convict the world of guilt. You know, we like the comfort part. The comfort part's amazing. Hey, somebody's going to be there for me when I need them. Somebody's got my back when my head is laid on my pillow at night. I cry myself to sleep, and I've got somebody there that cradles every tear. You know, the Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted. We love that. We celebrate that. But conviction, it's kind of a bad thing in most of our minds, but I'm gonna prove you wrong for just a moment. You know, I came across a story. I've actually shared this with another group before in years past, but there was a sociology professor, that told the deeply moving story about this Christian middle school camp. And I think it really paints the picture for us today. Christian middle school camp. And I thank God for Christian camps. I love that we're going to camp this summer with our teenagers, not just middle schoolers, but high schoolers. We've got so many signed up. It's exciting that we're doing that again, and love that. And this is a Christian camp. Well, there's this young man that was there. This is a true story. And he really struggled. He actually had a disorder, and the disorder was called spastic paralysis. Christian camp for middle schoolers. This professor, he tells the story of what happened, that the other middle schoolers at this camp, they mocked and they ridiculed this young man for the disorder that he had. They would stutter on purpose to make fun of him. He had like involuntary body movements as he moved around because of what he was dealing with, and they would pretend like they had it in front of him. It was just really cruel. How many of you know that people can just be mean sometimes? Not just picking on middle schoolers. We all know adults that are mean. We all know kids that, it's just something about our world, right? That fallen nature. There's people that are mean, and that's the case of this Christian camp. Well, one day the campers, they decided that they were gonna pick this boy with spastic paralysis to do the devotional in front of everybody. Now you would think, oh, this is a great honor, but the reason why they picked him was because they wanted to make fun of him. So he prepares and he stands before a group like this of middle schoolers and he shares his heart, and with great effort, he gets out seven words. Here's what he says. Jesus loves me and I love Jesus. And then he sits down. And the sociology professor describes the scene in that room, what I'm praying to happen right now. That after he said those things, there was a hush that went across the crowd. And here's the way that he describes it. The Holy Spirit's conviction fell upon the room. Young boys and girls that were just making fun of him became silent. Many began to cry and weep. that students all throughout that room repented. It's a big, fancy Christian word that they turned away from their sin. Even years later, the professor talks about that he still comes into contact with students that got saved at that camp after that seven-word devotional. Now, I got to tell you today, I preach a lot more than seven words. But really, it's not about what I say. I miss it. I make mistakes. It's not about me. I can tell you, I make a really bad Holy Spirit. I'm not God. He is. The Bible teaches us here from Jesus' mouth to our ears that one of the things the Holy Spirit does, who he is, he brings conviction in our lives. And I can't speak for you. I'll just speak for me. I'm thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I know even as a pastor, there's been many times in my life where I miss it. Not just as a Christian, but as a dad, as a husband, as a son. I make mistakes. I fail. I miss it. And I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit comes in, says, you know what, Ryan, that was not of me. That was the flesh. Let's course correct here and get back on the right path. I know conviction sounds like a bad thing, but it's actually a really, really good thing. It's a really, really good thing. I think this is the most vital part of my message today. I think it's going to set some people free. I really believe this. But I want to let us know today that there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. If I was limited to write down two things in church today, I'd write these two things down. Here's what condemnation is. It's from the devil, yourself, or others, and it drives you away from God. That's condemnation. But here's conviction. It's from the Holy Spirit and drives you to God. Do you see the difference there? It's subtle, but it's important. Maybe you walked in today with self-condemnation. Maybe you walked in today with condemnation from your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister. Maybe you walked in today and you were feeling condemnation from the devil himself. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. What if the pastor found out how you really treat your spouse? What if the pastor found out how you really handled this business meeting the other day? What if your pastor found out you did this and that? And that is condemnation. That drives you away from God. That is not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit brings conviction, a course correction, it is always, always, always to bring us closer to God. So if you're sitting there today or you're listening later on our website and you're feeling like, man, I can't be a part of this anymore. No, I can't do this. That's not conviction. Conviction draws you closer to God. Draws you closer. I gotta tell somebody, without the Holy Spirit's conviction, I would not be where I am today. Conviction hurts, but it's so helpful. I'll lighten the mood just for a moment. I relate it to this. This is kind of how I picture it. I hope that everybody in the room, everybody listen, I hope you have a really good friend in your life. A really good friend. And here's what I mean. It's kind of goofy, but this is how I think about it. I hope you have a really good friend that whenever you have something in your teeth, they'll tell you. You know, there's two types of friends out there. You know, there's books about friends, and I'll throw those to the side. There's two types of friends. First type is you have something in your teeth and they tell you. Second type is you have something in your teeth and they don't tell you. That's the two types of friends. Hopefully you got a good friend that will tell you. But think about it. You know, you go to lunch, you go to dinner, and you're talking, you're telling a story, and your friend looks over at you and says, hey, Ryan, I just want you to know you got something in your teeth. When they say that, let's be honest, it hurts a little bit at first. I know that's how I react. And maybe I'm different than all y'all. I don't think so, but maybe you feel that way. And when they say that to me, I almost get offended at first. Like, so embarrassing. Why would you tell me that? And then I think about the alternative. I go to lunch or dinner with somebody and I'm talking, I'm telling stories, and it's just this great thing. And then I get home and find out that I got a big piece of spinach right there in my teeth. I'm more upset then. I'm like, are you kidding me? I just hung out with you all day and I had this right here in front of me and you said nothing. What kind of a friend are you? That's how I think about it when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You know, he says something. Man, you shouldn't really be doing that. Hey, the attitude was not Christ-like. And it hurts. We're almost offended at first, but then as we settled down, we realized it was actually life-saving. Conviction's a good thing. It's necessary. I want to ask you a question, and it's rhetorical, and I'm about to pray. But would you rather the Holy Spirit leave you on the path that leads to a broken relationship, a secret addiction, a hospital visit or death? Or would you rather him come in sweetly and gently and get you back on the right path that leads to God and a life of blessing? I can't speak for you, but I want that in my life. I want you to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, have your way. Pray for my friends today. Pray for those that have heard some of these things for the first time and those that have maybe heard these types of things their entire life. I pray for all of us. God, we know there's power, not just in learning something for the first time, but sometimes we got to relearn some things. We got to be reminded of some things. And God, I just pray right now that we would be reminded that the Holy Spirit, he is God. We serve one God in three persons, the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You are one. May we remember that today. God, I pray that we'd be reminded that you are a person. You're not a thing. You're not an it. You're not a mist. You're not a vapor. You're not a figment of our imagination, something we made up. You're not a cloud or a dust just floating around. No. You are a person. May we remember that today. God, I pray for those that are hurting underneath the sound of my voice. May they remember that you are our comforter. That when life weighs us down, when our whole world is falling apart, you are with us to help, to comfort. You cradle every tear. You are close to the brokenhearted. As debt builds up, as friendships turn south, may we be reminded today that you are with us, that you live in us, that you are our comfort. And lastly, I pray for my friends, anyone listening live or those listening later on, that we would remember today that you convict. Not so you can point fingers, but so you can draw us back to you and where we need to be. So with eyes closed, heads bowed, please no one looking but me. If you're here today in this room or underneath the sound of my voice, and right now you sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit drawing you to God, to himself. You sense that there's areas in your life that are not where they need to be. There's some paths you've been on. There's some things you've been saying, some things you've been doing that are not of God, that are of the flesh. If that's you today, my prayer, my heart, and this message really leading to this point is that you would turn back to God, that you would repent before him. It's a 180. Even now, you feel it on the inside, almost like someone's reached in and like pulling you towards him, towards God. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Eyes closed, heads bowed, please. Honoring this moment, if that's you, you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you need to commit for the first time or maybe even for the 100th time, just afresh and anew to the Lord, right where you're at. Could you lift up your hand so I could see it? I see those. I see it. I see it. Anybody else? I see it. Hands all over. Thank you, God. I see it. You can put your hands down. See it. Thank you, God. Anybody else? That boldness to join the others. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to us. If you've been here before, you know what's coming next. But if you haven't, let me explain it to you. With eyes closed, and the reason why I ask you to do that is not because it's anything to be embarrassed of. No, we've all been there. I've been right where you are. I've said that prayer of commitment to the Lord. The reason why I ask you to keep your eyes closed is so you're not distracted. You're focusing on you and God. But what I'm going to do is, here in just seconds from now, I'm going to say a prayer out loud, and I'm going to have pauses in the middle of it. And after I say a part, I'm going to ask you to repeat that part. And the prayer is simply a prayer of dedication to the Lord, asking God to forgive you of your sins, to forgive you, to give you a brand new start. It's a prayer that says, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died on the cross. That's Good Friday. I believe you rose from the dead. That's Easter. And I ask you now to come into my life. That's all the prayer is. It's a commitment to the Lord. So I'm asking the many that raised their hand a moment ago, and also the believers in the room as support. I'm asking each of you to say this prayer, and more importantly than that, to mean it. And God promises in Romans 10:9 that he hears you, that he sees you, and that you can know that you know that you know that you will be saved, that your eternity will be in heaven with our God. So those that raised their hand a moment ago and the Christ followers in the room as support, say this and mean this with me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of every sin, of every mistake. Clean me up from the inside out. Jesus, I put my trust, my faith in you. I believe, come on, tell them again. I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And I ask you now to be my Lord, to be my Savior. You are my God. And I surrender all. Surrender all. Help me. Help me to live my life for you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.